We continue today with the problem of approximating all the eigenvalues of a three-diagonal Hermitian matrix. This is a frequent problem, since any Hermitian matrix can be transformed in this form by means of Hausdorff transformation, unitary transformation. We know this. So we start from a matrix, call it in the PDF file, it is called B. Alpha with index 1 up to n, and the co-diagonal entries beta from the index 2 to the index n again. Conjugate in the upper co-diagonal beta beta sub n in the lower co-diagonal. Well, last time we saw that a three-term well-known recurrence relation holds for the characteristic polynomials of the leading principal minors of this matrix A. This recurrence is simply this. If we consider one of these leading principal minors, say of order I, we can write that its characteristic polynomial P sub I can be expressed in terms of the previous two polynomials P sub I minus 1 and P sub I minus 2, that this multiplied by alpha sub I minus lambda, and this multiplied by minus the modulus of beta with the same index square. A useful property which was not illustrated last time is that if B is non-reducible, that is, all the co-diagonal entries are non-zero, then all eigenvalues are simple. Hanno tutti molteplicità 1. They cannot have multiplicity, algebraic multiplicity greater than 1. This is a consequence of the fact that if we go sigma of lambda, the multiplicity,
the algebraic, multiplicity.
It is well known that is greater than or equal than
the geometric multiplicity,
say tau of lambda, which is defined as the dimension of the kernel of matrix V minus lambda by identity. This number is equal by a well-known theorem of linear algebra to the size of the matrix n minus the rank of this matrix. Well, what is this? The rank of this matrix. B minus lambda times the identity, the identity. B minus lambda. This matrix is obtained, sorry, subtracting by subtracting lambda over the diagonal, the principle of the main diagonal. You can eliminate beta conjugate, and so on. We remark that the submatrix, this submatrix, obtained by choosing the rows from the index 2 to the index n, and the columns from the index 1 to the index n minus 1, is after triangular with principal entries, the betas. Which are all non-zero, so this matrix is non-singular, and this means that this rank is exactly n minus 1. If we inside, need to compute the rank of the matrix. Singular matrix in this case, B minus lambda times the identity, is a singular matrix since lambda is an even value. So the rank of this matrix is strictly less than n. We see that it is exactly n minus 1 because we find easily a submatrix of square submatrix of order n minus 1. By extracting this matrix with the rows and the columns chosen this way. So the conclusion is n minus n plus 1. So we find that the geometric multiplicity is 1. But we are in the Hermitian case. When a matrix is Hermitian, this inequality becomes an equality. The two multiplicities must have the same value. So we have found that all eigenvalues, sigma of lambda, is one, all that, the eigenvalues are sigma. This means that P sub n of lambda is the characteristic polynomial of the entire matrix, the algebraic equation associated has n real distinct solutions, and this is true also for the characteristic polynomial of all the principal minors of the given matrix V. Well, the method I am proposing to you for the approximation of all the eigenvalues of this matrix exploits the properties of the finite sequence of these characteristic polynomials that starts from the index 0 by conventionally defining P sub 0 of lambda identically equal to 1, the constant polynomial 1. This sequence of polynomials have are a so-called Stuhl sequence. What is a Stuhl sequence? More generally, a Stuhl sequence of polynomials is an ordered set or a finite sequence, it's the same thing, of polynomials having the following properties. Definition of a Stuhl sequence of polynomials. The first the definition is generally referred to a set of real numbers that can be an interval. We refer to these properties, the properties we will show you, over all the straight line of real numbers. The properties are the following, there are three. The first polynomial, P sub zero, does not change sign on the set all over R. If P sub I in lambda annihilates is zero for some real lambda, then the previous and the following polynomials computed in the same value of lambda have opposite signs.
If number is such that a polynomial
index I with I from 1 to n minus 1. So this property, the second property, regards the intermediate polynomials. Polynomials for the second to the one in index n minus 1. The previous and following computed in the same value of lambda does not vanish and must have opposite signs. The third and last property regards the last polynomial. Mm. Okay, so you see the first polynomial, the intermediate polynomials, the last polynomial. If the last polynomial has annihilates in lambda, then the previous computed in lambda and the derivative of the last have opposite signs. In n minus 1 in lambda, the first derivative of the last polynomial in lambda must have opposite signs. Well, why we consider these strange properties? The reason is that for a Sturm sequence, that is a sequence of polynomials having these properties, the so-called Sturm theorem holds. Which says that if we define, as I define here, definition, we define the function W in lambda with entire values as the number of the sine variations in the sequence of values attained by the polynomials of the Sturm sequence. For instance, if you have n equal to 3, and you have for some lambda say a piece of 0 has value 1, the second minus 1 2 and last 10. This sequence is then another sequence. The number of sine variation is one variation, zero variation. So in this case, W of lambda would be 2, positive. If sum of these values is 0, the value is not counted in the computation of the sine variations. Well, if we define this function W in this way, the Sturm theorem says that difference between two values of W and the points A and B. Smaller or equal to B, it is an interval, is equal to the number of zeros of the last polynomials, Pn, belonging in the interval A, B. A included and B excluded, so it makes sense to drop the equal sign in the condition regarding A, A. So when we have an interval, we can count the number of eigenvalues in the interval, excluding, we'll see this better later, the second point, B, computing the difference between the values of this function. This function is easy to compute. It is sufficient to compute all the values of the polynomials. Mind that these values can be computed by using the three-term recurrence that I have reminded you at the beginning of the lesson. Well, so we have to remark there are many ways to obtain Sturm sequences connected with a polynomial. I could say more important kind of Sturm sequence can be obtained by applying the Euclid algorithm for the remainder of the division between two polynomials. Euclid method. Applied to the polynomials Pn and its derivative. With this method, with this algorithm, we obtain a sequence of polynomials which have the three properties of a Sturm sequence. This is a different Sturm sequence. Sequence formed by characteristic polynomials of the leading principle minus. So, in order to verify all this, we must perform two steps. First, we have to check that effectively the P sub I fulfill the three requirements of a definition of Sturm sequence. So, first point, R, these polynomials, a Sturm sequence. Second point will be the exploitation, I would say, of this theorem. I mean, how this result can be applied to our problem, it is the eigenvalues of a three-diagonal condition matrix. First point, the three properties.
The first property is obvious, since we have defined the first polynomial as the constant 1.
P sub 0 is
the constant 1, so
does not change. We are referring to all we are. Also, the second property is simple to check. I write again the recurrence involving polynomial of index I plus 1 this is again I plus 1 says the second property. If the polynomial in the middle vanishes in lambda, what we find? We find that
the previous and the following polynomial can be both zeros, are both zero, or have opposite signs.
The first possibility cannot happen because if we are in this case, we have for a given lambda 0, 0, 0. And going back with the recurrence, we would reach the first polynomial, which would be 0, 2, and this is not possible. Se questo è 0, e fossero 0 anche precedente, successivo, la concomitanza, the simultaneous presence of three zeros, would imply that also all the polynomials in the sequence are zero, but the first polynomial cannot be zero. So this is not possible. Only the second case can occur, and this is the proof of the second property. If a polynomial vanishes, the following and the previous computed in the same lambda have opposite values, as we see here, minus sign. This is different from zero. Also, this assumption, works. We have a non-reducible matrix, so all the betas are non-zero. Well, the second property of the definition of Schlüter sequence is okay. The last properties. For the last properties, we degree we must refer to a non-restrictive simple case, say m equal to 4, we have so a matrix B, a 4 by 4 matrix, we have so 5 polynomials beginning from 0 polynomial, and we represent the behavior inside of the polynomial of each polynomial, so 0, 1, the last is a 4, representing in some way schematically, graphically, the behavior, the static behavior of this polynomial. For this first, it is all clear, it is identically equal to 1, so the polynomial, these lines represent the set of the real number. The first polynomial we can write explicitly because it is defined as the characteristic polynomial of the leading principal minor of B of order 1. So it is simply alpha sub 1 minus lambda. So it has only one zero, say in this position, alpha sub 1, beta stone lambda 1 sub 1 sub 1. The unique zero of the polynomial of degree 1. The sign before after zero, since the sign of lambda is minus, we have that here the polynomial is positive, here it vanishes, and after it becomes negative. Let us turn to P sub 2. We don't need to write here explicitly, but we know that it has degree 2. We know also that in this point, for the second property, we know its sign. It must have minus sign, must be negative. Why? In this point, P1 sub 1 vanishes. P sub 0 is positive. Second property, the previous and the following must have opposite sides, positive, negative. But this is a polynomial of degree exactly 2. So the coefficient of lambda to the power 2 is 1, so it must have 1 0 before 1, after 1, and 1 0 after 1 for continuity. And let us call the first lambda sub 1 sub 2, the second lambda sub 2 sub 2. The sign before this the sign after this will be positive. Well, you realize what is the mechanism of this reconstruction. We easily find by using again the second property that the polynomial of degree 3, P sub 3, we have here sine minus, here sign plus, and we have 1, 2, 3 zeros for continuity for the sign of lambda to the power 3, which will be minus 1.
So we have here lambda 1 sub 3, lambda 2 sub 3, and the last lambda 3 sub 3. And here the polynomial will be positive.
Right? For the same reason, again,
we should have here minus, here plus, and here minus. So the four distinct eigenvalues of the matrix, that is the zeros of the last polynomials, must be located in this way. So we realize a nice property which occurs also frequently also for other kinds of matrices. It is a nice situation. Nice property, the fact that the eigenvalues of the submatrix separate the eigenvalues of the successive submatrix. Let us give a name to the last eigenvalues. We want to check the third property. Third property involves also, we need another straight line, the derivative of P sub n. Let us consider the zeros of P sub n. We are able to say which is the sign of this derivative, since here we are going from positive to negative, so the derivative in this point, I provide the given value, which sign must have? The function P sub 4 is increasing, positive, zero, negative. So the derivative must be negative. For the same reason here, from negative to positive, here from positive to negative, and in the last value, from negative to, here we have a 4-degree polynomial. Well, third property, we have to compare in the eigenvalues of the matrix, which are zeros of P sub 4, the signs of the previous polynomial and the derivative of the last polynomial, plus, minus, minus, plus, plus, minus, and so on. So we see that this is a particular case, but the same phenomenon occurs also when we have an odd value of n. Simply the signs are interchangeable. So we know that the derivative
the value of the previous polynomial
when lambda is a negative value
have opposite signs.
Now we can
correctly say
that this P form has two segments. The proof of the Stone theorem
applied just to our polynomial. Is it true that this value is exactly the number of eigenvalues in the interval
A, B? Why?
Well, it is sufficient to reason in this way.
For
what reason?
The value of
the function W
changed only if there are value of lambda in the interval such that some
polynomial of our seconds vanishes. If in the interval no one polynomial vanishes, necessarily the number of variations of size of signs would be same in A and in B. What happens when some pi in lambda vanishes?
We distinguish two cases. If p sub I is an intermediate polynomial of the sequence, or if I is equal to n, that is lambda is an negative value. A polynomial vanishes. I cannot be zero because the first is constant. Let it be bounded by 0 and n. In this case, we have for this lambda, this polynomial is 0. For the second property, the previous and the following have opposite signs, say plus and minus. For continuity, in a neighborhood of this lambda, the sign of the previous and the sign of the following signs, their signs are unchanging. So before this value lambda, we have here you can have plus, minus, or equivalently minus plus. Say we are in this case. Plus, plus, minus,
one variation plus minus minus one variation. The number of variation is unchanged. The same number of variations. W does not increase. The other case is when I is equal to n. So let us represent again the behavior of the last two polynomials. In this point, lambda Pn vanishes. We have to use the third properties, So we involve also the derivative of the last polynomial. Let us suppose that here the previous polynomial is negative. So the derivative of the last polynomial from the third property must be positive. This is means that the last polynomial before lambda has negative values and after lambda has positive values. Is it clear? The last zero. The previous here can be negative or also positive. There is no important difference. If it is negative, the derivative of Pn for by the third property must be of opposite sign, plus. Pn is increasing, minus, plus. For continuity, you have minus, minus, in a neighborhood of lambda, and this means that before we have zero variation and after we have one variation. So we realize that only in this case, only when we cross the zero lambda or the last polynomial, that is an eigenvalue, the function w increases by one unit. This is the proof of the Stone theorem. A little remark. Why A is included and B is not included? Simply for the reason that I cannot check if there is a zero in B, since I need information on the behavior of W after B. This is given in the case of A, but it is not given in the case of B. So it is a very simple reason. Let us stop for 5 minutes. Domande?